So, Fruit of the Spirit, I have 2 weeks to complete everything you have on your outline. And what I'll do, the plan next week is I'm going to bring a copy for you of the complete outline so that you'll have the complete outline for you next week, because I had to shift things around a little bit in the last few pages. So anyway, today we're going to talk about, and we finished with our last one last week, but we're going to talk about faith today and fruit number 7. So I have 3 fruits. I have 2 weeks. Can I do it? What are the odds, right? What are the odds? Can I do it in 2 weeks, 3 fruits? I can, only because one of them was short. So I thought we had a short one. I think it was goodness. We have a shorter one. Instead of 4 verses in the Bible, it's got 3 that were translated that way, but we'll see that coming up. So faith. Faith is huge, is it not? Like, love is huge in the Bible. That's a big fruit of the Spirit. But it's a big topic. Faith is, so I had to narrow it down a little bit for us. And so I'm going to start out with Abraham. I thought I'd start out with Abraham. We're going to touch on others, but I want to start out with Abraham because there's a lot of cool things about Abraham when it comes to faith that people don't always see. They see his whole life story, but where is Abraham's faith? And there was a lot of things along the way. I didn't even begin to touch on all of Abraham's stuff, but I wanted to start with him. And so if you'll turn to Genesis 12:1, and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Be with us now, Lord, as we study the scriptures, Lord. Help us to apply it to our lives, but our hearts, help us to go after the fruit of the Spirit in our own life and make room for you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," this is before he got his name changed to Abraham, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto all the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless them thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So the result of that conversation was this. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thee will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So what I want you to see in here with Abram is God gave him a command. He says unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred or from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing." You know, I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse him that curse you. He's going to do all these things. What's Abraham do? Obey. Now, what I want you to see in here and think about is, did God say where I'm going to send you? Right? He'd say, "I'm sending you to the city far over here. That's where you got to go." He just says, leave your country, your kindred, your father's house. Now think about a missionary. What are they doing? They're doing something similar, aren't they? Go on a mission field. They're going to, by faith. Now, typically, they'll look for God's direction as to where to go, right? But in this case, in Abraham being... Now, first of all, I want you to understand here that this wasn't just out of the blue with Abraham. It says, now the Lord said unto Abraham. Abraham did not freak out because the Lord talked to him. So Abraham knew the Lord, right? When you think about these generations, you don't see it in Scripture, but you see Noah. Remember, it calls Noah what? A preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. The same things that were handed down, we're going to look at this as far as faith is concerned, handed down from the beginning. We're going to look at Cain and Abel, right? We want to look at the people's faith to understand that they knew about God, they spoke to God, they knew who God was, but not everyone. And I just think it's interesting here that the Lord said unto Abraham, the Lord spoke to him. He talked to him just like you and I are talking, right? Because typically in the Bible, it'll tell you, he appeared in a vision. Sometimes he appeared in a vision to others, where others he spoke directly to. But it wasn't like Abraham was afraid of it. I think there was already a relationship there. Yet, what did he ask him? God asked him to do something, right? And when you think about faith, what has God asked us to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, right? So God, with faith here, we see in Abraham, just a neat picture of faith. He doesn't ask, you notice he didn't ask, where am I going? Now, other people ask questions. Jenny likes to have Bible stories and stuff, so we're doing Bible stories here and there. And I try to think of something new. So I talked to her about Manoah. Y'all know who Manoah is, right, in the Bible? And she said, Noah? I said, no, not Noah, Manoah. She's like, no. Then I start the story, and she's like, oh, yeah, I know who this is. But the beginning, when you think of Manoah, you know, and I even had to look it up. I was pretty sure it was Manoah, but then, like, oh, I don't know. I better look it up and make sure I'm saying the name right. I don't know if I pronounce it right, but I said it that way, Manoah. So we talked about that particular person. But he's like, well, if the guy comes again, you know, you're going back. There's this back and forth that typical people typically, are you sure? Did you, you know, they have questions. But I don't see a lot of questions out of Abraham. God said, do this and I'll do this for you. Simple faith, almost childlike faith. He just packed up and left. Did not know where he was going. And we'll see that later in Scripture. But so anyway, Abraham, let's look over at Romans 4, verse 3. Romans 4, verse 3. And this is going to reference back to Abram. Romans 4, 3. And I'll read down through 8 just to have the whole context here. For what saith the Scripture, right? It's referencing, you know, Old Testament. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Right? He believed God. God said, I'm going to do these things for you, and he acted. See, that's the result of real faith. He acted on his faith. He obeyed God. Quite simple. We make it complicated sometimes, but he didn't question God. He just did what God said. Now think about it. He said, get thee out of the country. He didn't say where to go. Where are we going? That way. How do you know which way to go? He didn't say, did he? Doesn't matter. I think he could have picked any direction. God would have headed him in the right direction. But I think, you know what? I got to leave. I'm just going this way. And God would use him and keep his promise to Abraham, right? Because he obeyed. So Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's you and I. You ever think about that? Man, the simplicity of salvation. I've had people say to me, there has to be more to salvation than faith. No, salvation is faith. But we'll talk about that more as we come down through faith. But it's simple faith. This is believe on God, right? it is counted to him for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Right? That sin does not, is not there and attached to you anymore through the work of Christ. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11. Now, everybody, probably if you've been around a while, and if not, you'll hear it for the first time, but most people understand that Hebrews 11 is what we call the Hall of Faith, the faith chapter, or the faith chapter in Hebrews, but Hebrews, of course, written to the Hebrews when you think about dealing with the Hebrew nation, but it's the Hall of Faith. I like to see that, and it's a great thing. So we're going to do not all of it because there's a lot there, but I want to look at that one and read that with you. So it says here, now faith in verse 11, verse 1, or chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's a lot said in there. And that one, sometimes you have to think about it. And I had a little trouble grasping that. So I tried to look up the couple of words in there, the descriptive words here. It says, faith is the substance. What is substance? Well, there's a lot of definitions, and I printed them in mine, of course. There's six definitions, and I'm going to point out a couple things, but trying to get a grasp on what substance is. Typically, you know, in this day and age, we hear substance abuse. You know, somebody's sticking some chemical or doing something with a chemical that affects their body in a negative way. But when we think about substance in the definition of 1828, in general sense, being something existing by itself, that which really exists, which really is or exists, and then it goes down a little bit and it mentions, thus the soul of man is called an immaterial substance. I can't see it, but it's there. And I like that they're putting that in the definition of the dictionary. So when we think of substance, it isn't necessarily a physical thing. It applies beyond just the physical when you think of substance. A cognitive substance, a substance to do with thought, right? So those things are also counted as substance, and I didn't know that. Just interesting. Number three, I think, is an important piece. The definition three says the essential part, the main or material part. So when you go back and you read that verse, now faith is the essential of things hoped for. It's the main part of it. It is the substance, this substance that we're talking about, right, is more of a thought, but it's an essential thought. It has that context of that, of things hoped for. And then it says, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is evidence? That which elucidates and enables the mind to see the truth. Right? There's your definition of evidence. And it means other things. It also means a witness or one who testifies to a fact. But there's three definitions with evidence. But it says here, that which elucidates and enables the mind to see the truth, proof arising from our own perceptions by the senses or from the testimony of others or from inductions of reason. So that is evidence of things not seen, right? So the testimony of others, faith has been handed down, and then we see the examples of faith, right? Well, the examples are, if you believe something, right, what you believe, and we'll look at that closer, that there's a result of that. But we'll look at that in a little bit here. So definition on that verse. So if we continue on in Hebrews 11:2, for by it, and again, talking about faith, the elders obtained a good report. There was an action of those elders. They had a good report. They walked by faith. You have to believe first, right? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But then, as a result of believing God, he did what God said. You know what I mean? Kind of like salvation. People hear about salvation, they know Jesus is Savior, but they're not necessarily saved, right? They believe God exists. There's a lot of the cults. Jordan's teaching on the Mormons downstairs. I think it's interesting when you think about cults. What two cults were started around 300 AD in that 300s? Two. Roman Catholicism, kind of Christ-looking like, and then you had the Muslim religion with Muhammad. That's when that religion started. Both of those in the 300s. Guess what occurred in the 1800s? Mormonism downstairs that he's talking about, and Jehovah's Witnesses. 1800s. Two more cults pop up. They claim to be, you know a little bit more. But I think it's interesting. Do you ever think about this? Jesus said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. What's it make the ones that come after? Hello? But, you know, anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. So, for by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, right? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, right? We have God, you know, there's so much in the word of God, preserving his word, telling us. God doesn't go out and say, well, this is the word of God. He just says, in the beginning, he just goes right into it. You ever notice that about the Bible? It's a lot of other books like to give a preface, and they want to prepare you so that you're going to believe what they're going to tell you. God doesn't do that. God says, fact, in the beginning, God created, and then he goes on and on, right? So it's interesting how the word of God starts out. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, as we see in Genesis. By faith, now the first one mentioned is Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. So we still have the word of God today telling you what happened about Abel, testifying, number one, that God preserves his word. Number two, that Abel was a man of faith. Do you know much about Abel? Think about, what do we know about Cain and Abel, right? One's a tiller of the ground, another, you know, raising animals. They bring an offering. We know they brought an offering, right? They knew how to bring offerings. Now, was it written all there, all about that? No. God made coats and skins of animals, so we know that they were sacrificed, and God did that first sacrifice to help Adam and Eve. They passed it to their children, because when they had to appear before the Lord. So to bring before the Lord, they had to bring the right sacrifice. So they needed to bring the appropriate sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Well, I raise the best crops in the whole world. I'll bring those. Well, you could, I suppose you could offer them unto God, but not when it's a required sacrifice, right? It's not the picture of the blood. There's no blood in that sacrifice. So God did not totally, he condemned what he did. The action was wrong. God said, told him that, you know, if you do well, if you bring the right, will you not be accepted? If I'm paraphrasing that, but basically you would be accepted if you just go back and bring the right one. God would have received Cain if he had messed up, did the wrong thing out of, you know, thinking with his own mind. Gets us in trouble all the time, don't it? So he could have brought the right sacrifice. He could have corrected, but he chose not to. And God said, if not, sin lieth at thy door. Look, dude, it's sin. Tell your children that. They don't want to hear that. You know? Nobody wants to. Anyway, it says, Abel offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We don't know what he did, but he definitely was a man of faith. He was enough faith that God said, oh, you can come with me now early. And he didn't die. You know? What a picture of the rapture, too. Think about it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come today. We got others we want to save, but you know what I mean. We all have that. We should have that want and our desire, even so much as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ, right? And it says here, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, right? This is an admonition to us. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? You want God, God's there. He's already there, but we got to go God's way, don't we? Well, first, you got to believe he exists, right? And you got to believe God's word is true when it's spoken to your heart. And then you can act upon what you, if you believe it, you can act upon it, right? You can't act upon it until you believe it's true and you believe that's what you need and that's what God wants you to do. So you have that first act. And so let's move to 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Right? So Noah did all this, right? And it's interesting. It says, there's more about Noah, but when you think about Noah and what Noah's faith was, God said, you got to build an ark. Ark means box, right? Is it long and rectangle? It's whatever God gave him, all the specs, the dimensions. He did whatever God wanted him to do. However many floors, they get all this stuff. A lot of the things they make look like a ship. He wasn't going in a direction. He's going to float, right? So whether it had curved in, I don't think he went to all that. I think he built it like he said, but I don't know if it necessarily had all the fancy ship-looking things. But it is pretty neat that God, right, Noah, believed God. The Bible also calls him a preacher of righteousness. And you know, nobody wanted to hang around Noah because why? He was a goody two-shoes. What fun is Noah? He's building a box, right? What's he doing that for? God told him to, right? So he's doing what he was told. He believed God, and he built the box, right? Now, God's going to flood the earth. It never rained on the earth. You know that, right? It had never rained on the earth. And God says he's going to flood the earth. Well, does it matter whether it came from the sky or ground? It came from both, really. It broke up the fountains of the deep and also the heavens, you know, that we were made in that bubble, that water around us. Where the firmaments divide anyway. We could do Genesis sometime. That would be fun. But anyway, Noah believed God, and he acted accordingly. Verse 8. By faith, and now we're going to get to Abraham. Abraham, you know, it's just looking back at his name was changed, right? So they're using the newer name. By faith, Abraham, while he was still Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So we pointed that fact out, but it's just reiterated here in the New Testament, right? Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. So you can see that's clearly the truth, but you saw it in the scriptures. You know, we just saw like God said, just pack up and go. Pack up and go. So he just did. He didn't know where he's going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And they inherited that promise. Each man in his children and grandchildren, as it stepped down, had that faith. That faith was passed to generations, right? So it's passed on to his children. But it was their choice. They still had to choose that, by the way. And I think it's interesting that they still had to choose that faith. And God visited each one of those men in a different way. And it says here, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham, you know, they're looking beyond the moment. They're looking to heaven, which is if we have faith, you know, we live for this world. This world is temporary. We do all this stuff temporary, you know. And the thing is, by faith, we're looking for the next one to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. No more sorrow, no more. The things that are coming are much better than the things that are now. So let's go back to look at first mentions. How are we doing on time? I'm probably running out. Yes, I am. But we'll be all right. I'll get through by next week. Deuteronomy 32:20. Turn over there. This is the first mention. Now, they're just neat things. You learn stuff as you go that you never learned when you have to do these studies. So I'm always learning new stuff. And I always worry that I already knew this and I'm learning it again and again. But as I get older. But this I had not known. So we'll look at two couple of sections here and then I'll explain. First mention. So the interesting thing about this first mention in Deuteronomy 32:20 is its reference to lack of faith. The first mention about, you know, faith or the word faith found in the Old Testament is talking about lack of faith, which is interesting. It's not used before that. That word is not translated faith before that. So Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Right? Children in whom there is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy, which with that which is not God, worshiping sticks and stones, and whatever they made up. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That'd be us. Right? But think about it. What is God saying? His first reference, way back in Deuteronomy, is we have their children in whom there is no faith. God's displeased with lack of faith on our part. And it's the first mention of faith in the Old Testament. If you turn over to Habakkuk, am I saying that right? Habakkuk, that's it, there you go. I always get that wrong. I never say it right the first time. If I had the little things on top, I could figure it out. But the words don't typically come like that. You gotta find that somewhere. So Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So here's the cool thing I didn't know. The word faith, we think of faith, we think of, you know, all the men that started faith, and we get that hall of fame that I didn't even begin to touch on in Hebrews 11 due to the lack of time. But if you look, this is the second and only time faith, English translated into English as faith. Two times in the Old Testament only. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. You know why? Because faith was always demonstrated, wasn't it? God spoke, said, do this. They did it or they didn't. Moses would tell the people, do this. They either did it or they didn't, right? So God was speaking to the people through Moses, right? Not really different than today. Moses just get up and repeated what God said. I'm up here. I didn't make this up. I'm just repeating what God said. Pastor gets up in the pulpit, reads the word of God. He's just saying what God has been preserved for all these years. God said he would preserve his word. He has. For thousands and thousands of years. And here we are today. That's proof. You are evidence and proof that God's word still works today. Now, that's not necessarily for the majority, right? The majority. How many people did not have faith through the scriptures, right? More? How do you know that? Well, the scriptures talk about broad is the way, wide is the gate, and the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few, many, few. So, based on that scripture, you can make, it's not even an assumption, you can know that the majority of people will not be saved, right? The majority of people will not be saved. But two times only is faith mentioned, which is kind of interesting. Wow, you think you'd mention a lot more. It would translate a lot more. With the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, I can go search that Hebrew Chaldee word, or I can search the Greek word. And you know what? I searched on it, and guess what? Still translated the same way. I'm like, wow, only two times. It's one of those interesting facts. You're like, I was shocked. You don't see the word faith. Now, you see it a ton in the New Testament, but you don't see it. But the New Testament, a lot of times, if you notice, we're reading parts, they're referring to what? People who acted on what God told them to do, right? That is the best way, completion of faith. You believe it, and then you act a certain way. If you don't act that way, where is your faith? You see, that's the problem. So faith brings me to my last part. I kept faith short because I have two others. James 2:17. Let's go there. I wanted to touch on this because faith has its results. Faith, there's more faith. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at James 2:17, right? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. So, unfortunately, in this day and age, I think we deceive ourselves, and this is all human beings and all of us to some extent, that, well, of course I believe, I've heard that before, but do you act in a way that demonstrates, yes, you really hold to that? You see what I'm saying? So this is why they can say this. We are justified by faith, right? But there should be a result of your faith. If not, you don't have faith. You could say you have it all day long. There's people walking around out there, oh yeah, I believe. But there's no faith. There's no evidence of it, right? Now, we're not saved by our works, but we are saved to obey God, right? And God, He covers it all through the scriptures. But here it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Well, you have your faith and I'm going to do my stuff. Well, when it comes down to works, right, all the things that God says, you can't do everything right. That's the problem. So you can have works, but if you don't have faith, then you don't have salvation, because salvation is of faith. But the difference is this. We're trusting in the work of Christ to get us to heaven, and then because we have faith that Jesus did that for us and we love him, if we do, then there should be certain things that accompany our faith. You see how that works? So here it says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils, notice there's that colon there? The devils also believe and tremble. Are the devils saved? No, they're not saved. They left the deferred estate. Angels even desire to look into the things that were given to us, right? Where we have the ability to escape. And we were born in trespasses and sin. They weren't and decided to change size, right? And then they don't have that other way. But here, they believe, it says there's one God. They believe it. There's only one God. They believe that. They know who he is. They've been with him. They know all about him, more so than us, right? They know him better than us. So it says here, but wilt thou know, O vain, that's empty, vain means empty, man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. That's the maturity of faith. Maturity of faith is a faith that there's a result of it, right? There's a faith, a result of faith. If you have that faith in Christ, right, and you're trusting in him, then you should want to know what the Word of God says and you want to learn more, right? And And so there's this things that accompany faith. There's a desire for the things of God. There should be a love for the brethren. The Bible says if you don't love the brethren, you're not saved. Can I put it any plainer? It says that. There should be a love for the brethren. In other words, because they're a saved person. Now, does that mean you like everything that the saved people do? No, they're human. You know what I mean. You don't have to like everything they do, but there should be a love for them that you want to help them if they have a need or they have whatever. There should be a love of the brethren there that you get together with because that's part of your family. Now, you have a much bigger family than this, but they just happen to be in one local area, right? But that's the thing. There should be a love of the brethren, right? Because they're saved, not because they're your best friend. People make that mistake. You come to church and you make acquaintances and you're going to hit it off with somebody you like. You're going to meet somebody probably and you're like, wow, we're a lot alike. Kindred spirits, they'll call it, right? Kindred spirits. You have that, but don't mistake that for love of the brethren, right? Love of the brethren means all the brethren, right? All those brethren are important and they're an important part of the family. But faith without works is dead. So we're saved by faith. There's no doubt about it. We are saved by the work that Jesus did. We believe that his payment was sufficient for our sins. That's salvation. End of story. But faith, and it comes to faith, we're expected to grow our faith. We're expected to mature in faith. There has to be results of that faith. There needs to be certain things in your life. And love of the brethren is one of those. You can go back and look. There are others that are told to us so that we can understand, well, where am I? Am I really saved? Do I just have a head knowledge of God? Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I've heard people say that this passage, which we say, show as, look, it's faith alone, and faith equals good works. Real faith produces good works. But some denominations that believe works and faith say, well, see, this passage says it's faith and works, and they point to verse 24. Mm-hmm. It says, see then how that by works a man is justified, and not right. by faith only. And they'll right. say, see, it's not faith alone. But
right.
the important point is in verse 23, mm-hmm. it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And that's a reference to Romans 4,
right.
which says God justifies the ungodly.
Right.
He doesn't justify the godly. He justifies the ungodly.
Right.
And we come just as we are.
Right.
By faith.
And that's it. And that's where people sometimes, you know, like I said, it's the delineation and understanding of how the two work together. Right. Having faith. Right. Faith in what God did to get us to heaven. But a lot of people turn around and say, it's faith plus works. But it's faith that works. It's what's that word you just used? It's like a product. Yeah, a product of faith is works, a product of it. In other words, faith produces actions in your life, right? There are certain actions. It's that faith. But the initial faith is, hey, you're trusting in Christ and God as your Savior to pay for your sins, right? We're understanding the big picture there. You get that understanding, you receive Christ as your Savior, and then that's it, right? That's it. But faith should produce more. You should want to know the Bible. You should want to go to church. You should have those things in your life. Why? Because you have the love of Christ in you, love of the brethren. There's all those things that help us to understand, do we have like a false faith, if you will? You know, are you really saved? I tell people, make sure. I used to tell my kids, hey, you come along and pretty soon you're not sure. Well, make sure right then. That's the time to get it settled. If you get to a point where you find you're not settled, you don't really know. So next week, we'll look at our next two, meekness. We have meekness and temperance. Meekness and temperance. We'll talk about those next week. I was thinking faith would take all today. And I got people standing outside, but any questions on that faith? Any comments? Any other comments that people want to make? You can talk in my class. It's okay. It's all right to talk in my class or ask questions, whatever. But faith is an important aspect. It makes all the difference. faith in the redemption of man. So, all right, here it is.